Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Just before the show began and we just started this live broadcast, I got the news that one of my best friends has stage 3 cancer, colon cancer. And in a way it was fitting, in another way it's sad, in another way it's difficult to take. And therefore, I couldn't believe how this news reached me while I was preparing a discussion on trials and calamities in the Quran. Because it's unbelievable how many of us face different trials and witness different calamities in our lives. Sometimes you think to yourself, is this ever going to stop? Because you feel like every few years, something else comes up. In the case of some people, every few months. In the case of others, every day. And especially since COVID-19, many of us began to reflect on the different trials and calamities that face us and face others in the world today. There are people who will celebrate Eid this year for the first time without their father, without their mother, without their grandfather, without their sister, without a brother. And maybe a couple of years ago, they thought that these were people who were going to live till 80s and 90s, and then they saw them die in their mid-50s. In some cases, they saw them die in their 40s. And then you find other families who have trials where they lost children due to cancer. And then you find other families who face calamities because of a particular event that takes place in their country, like a suicide bomb, and you see a mother who loses 3 children in a country like Iraq, or families who've lost children, or like yesterday, we only witnessed what's happened in Kabul, where these youth were killed simply because of their beliefs. And inshallah, tonight I'll discuss this further on my Instagram channel at 11 p.m., where we're trying to raise funds for the orphans of Afghanistan. So everywhere we look in the world, we see trials, we see calamities, we see people who are oppressed. And as human beings, you begin to ask yourself the question, does this ever end? I can appreciate that we need to go through certain tests in life, but sometimes there are moments where you feel that I'm facing a test every day. This is just not stopping. As in, I thought that this was the end of this one test financially. Now I have a test in my domestic life. And I thought it was the end of the test with my domestic life. Now I have a test with my, for example, community. And there are certain people who literally work in a world of opposites. When everything's going well for them, God's great. And when everything suddenly goes bad or goes sour, my Lord's left me. I always remember this this verse in Surah Al-Fajr, Surah 89 of the Holy Quran. In Surah Al-Fajr, I'm sure many of you have read this verse at home, Surah 89, verse 15 to 16. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. As for man, when his Lord tries him and honors him with bounties towards him, he says, my Lord has honored me. As long as there's bounties at the end of the test, as long as I've got through it with flying colors. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ أَهَانًا. But then when God suddenly tries him and the rizq is not like it used to be, the sustenance has been a bit straightened, then he says, my Lord has disgraced me. And that's why you'll find some people in the Muslim community get this wrong. And in the non-Muslim community, the slightest trial or calamity somehow results in a disbelief altogether of God's existence. Now, a trial or calamity happening in life, how does that have anything to do with whether we can prove God's existence? We can certainly come to our philosophical discussions concerning the problem of evil. And that's a discussion that philosophers have sought to debate since time immemorial. But you'll find that certain non-Muslims, it's as if they are the only ones who lost their child. Look, there are many Muslims who've lost children. There are many Christians who've lost children. There are many of the Jewish community, of the other believing faiths who have lost children. But sometimes when a person says, I don't believe in God anymore because I lost a child, but there are others who've lost children as well. They didn't stop believing. Yes, it's a major trial. So you'll find on the one hand, there are those who the loss of a business, the loss of children, the loss of a property, the loss of status, suddenly makes them turn around and say, God's disgraced me. Of course, when times are good, God's amazing. But the moment a trial comes into their life, what do they say? Ah, it's disgraced me. Where's God? And sometimes they'll mock you as a believer. They'll say to you, where's all your dua getting you? Every year you're praying for the same thing, nothing's happened. You're praying, you're going to the mosque, what's happened? Where's the success? Where's the result? Where's God? And so on the one hand, we face that pressure. On the other hand, we have a problem in the Muslim community. What is it? Oh, do you know why that happened to you? The reason that happened to you is because God wants to punish you. So you've got a disabled child, a physically challenged child. That's God's punishment for you. You've lost some wealth this year. That's God being unhappy with you. And sometimes you might even find your own parents turning around to you and saying to you, if you do this, God's going to punish you. So that means the moment you face any trial in your life, it's always looked at as a negative, without being looked at with any positive lens whatsoever. I can either look at a test with a cup half full or look at a test with a cup half empty. Sometimes I look in life and I think a calamity which makes me turn to God is better than a blessing that makes me turn away from God. Not an easy level to reach. A calamity that makes me turn to God may sometimes be better than a blessing that turns me away from God. I've seen people, some calamities, at the beginning they were wondering why it happened. They'll tell you that was a turning point in getting them more on the prayer mat than they've ever been. I've seen some people, the more blessings came upon them, the less you saw them in the mosque. Bro, where are you? I used to see you in the mosque all the time. Bro, you don't understand, man. It's just, you know what? I'll see you next week. This guy used to never miss Jum'ah. He used to never miss Majalis, Wilada, Shahada. The blessings of wealth were now showering on them. But their turning away from God sometimes happened. And then there are those, a calamity made them get closer to God. And a blessing made them turn away from God. So now, when I look at this, it's a real conundrum. Because do you agree with me that there are times you're wondering, is it because I've done something wrong that I'm going through this? What's the reason behind these trials? And before, I always used to remember one verse in the Quran where people would be like, look, God, you promised that if we get closer to you, things were going to be easy. Things have just got more difficult the more religious I've become. That's another major test. That for some reason, the moment you become more religious, more haram is in front of you. And when you were less religious, you're like, hold on a minute, I didn't get this much haram in front of me when I was less religious. But now that I've turned to God, suddenly all the prohibited things are right in front of me. And I remember one verse in Surah 16 of the Quran, verse number 97. Go to Surah 16, verse 97 of the Quran, and you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's this point where you're thinking, hold on, God, you've promised that if someone does good deeds, you're going to make life a lot easier for them. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha. Whoever does good deeds, be they a male or a female, wa huwa mu'minun, and they are a believer, falanuhyiyannahum hayatan tayyiba. So what are we going to do? We're going to make for them what? Live a good life. Someone's like, hold on, God. Whoever does good deeds and whoever believes in you, You said you're going to make them a good life. The more I've done good deeds, I think, the more I've believed in you, the more difficult my life has become. I apply for this, I get rejected. I try and get this, it gets rejected. I try and ask for this, it gets rejected. So how is it working? مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. God, you're telling me, be you male or female, if you do good deeds, you're going to make me live a good life. I've struggled financially. I've struggled personally. My parents are not with me anymore. I don't have a house to live in. But I still am a believer in you and I'm doing good deeds. How does that work? So, the issue of trial, calamity, tests, tribulations, afflictions is something that has always puzzled the human being. It really is the difference between belief and non-belief in some cases. One loss of life in a family, you stop believing in God. One bad day, that could be the end of your belief system. So how does the Quran approach it? Let's begin. First and foremost, let's make something clear about any trial that we face. And that is, God would not burden us with that which we cannot handle. Surah 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, the last verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 286. As we know, the second chapter of the Quran is the longest chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. And in verse 286 of Surah 2, what does it say? The Quran says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not impose or burden on any soul but to the individual's ability. We agree? From the beginning, the Quran has said that God will not impose on you a burden that which you cannot handle. I know that some of these burdens are difficult. I know when a mother has lost her child, be the child a miscarriage or be the child 10 years of age, it's difficult. I know when I look, for example, at certain people who've seen their children or loved ones have cancer, it's difficult. I know when a person sees their family member executed by a particular dictatorship and never sees them again, it's difficult. But the Quran said right from the outset that you have to realize that we will never impose a burden on you that which you cannot handle. You got to find it within yourself. If you look hard enough, you'll find that you, the human being, have the ability to make the unseen become seen. You, the human being, have the ability and the potential that even the most difficult trial, you'll find something out of it where you will find a success. Because someone asked the question that, you know what, Sayyidina, why the test? And I reply in some cases, why do we get tested at school? For what reason is God testing us at school? Or the teachers, I should say. Zamir, you're a teacher. And at school, why do we have tests at the end of the year? For what reason? Why don't you just allow all the students to pass? The reality is that when you're looking for the word trial in the Quran, there are a number of words, but mainly there are two words. Mainly you look at the word bala, or you're looking at the word fitna. So Yasir, if someone was to come and say to you, you know the word trial in the Quran? Tribulation, affliction, calamity, which word? Either we'll look at, for example, the word bala, or I'll look at the word fitna. Bala in English, you may see the word affliction or trial. Fitna as well, you may see the word next to it, affliction or trial. Why God the bala? Why the trial? Why is Zamir your end of year tests? For what reason? What are you trying to decipher as a teacher? Progress. Progress? You're trying to decipher progress? You possibly also want or hope, I think, for the best of the students to be made clear from the worst. Because it's unfair that you've got a student in class who the whole of their 9 months at school that year is diligent, studious, works their socks off, and you've got this other kid who's just absolute trouble. Although, mind you, sometimes the absolute trouble ones, they pull it off at the end, where you can actually, and in Islam this works, by the way, because Tawbah means that whatever trial you go through, and even if you've committed sins and you face trials, you can still do Tawbah. Of course, not the Tawbah of Fir'aun, where it's just like, you know what, I'm drowning, I might as well just say the Kalima now. But a sincere repentance. But do you agree with me, Zamir, that what you're doing when you're testing, because there are many people who are like, why the tests? Why do we have to go through these tests? Why did I have to lose my daughter? Why did I have to lose my sister? Why did I have to have that suicide bombing happen to my family? Why did my brother get executed by so-and-so? Why did we lose our house? Why? I used to never like tests. If you ask my parents, they'll say to you, I used to never enjoy exams. I think you only look forward to exams if you've got nothing to lose or too much to gain. Or you only look forward to exams if you've really revised well. And the reality is that since what year, Yasser, when was the first exam you ever went through in a class where your teacher said, all of you have got a test coming up? Which year do you remember? Since the age of what? Where your teacher are like, tomorrow there's a test, everyone be ready. Yeah. Some kids from the age of 7, already they've got the concept of trial, test, exam. Islam wasn't the one that put that in the curriculum. Key stage 2 and key stage 3 and SATs and GCSEs and A-levels was not Islam. But there had to be a way in which A, we managed to filter, to decipher who were the ones who really had worked hard and who were the ones who were lazy. Secondly, I think also you wanted to see if the true nature of what was hidden, you wanted to have a look at where they've reached and where that true nature really is. Because I bet sometimes you think to yourself that you've got this student who's a brilliant student, but you want to see if, can they actually do it? I know what's hidden within, but can they actually show it on the paper? But then you've also got a student who acts as a really bright student in front of everybody. But on exam day, they just don't pull it off because there were maybe, listen, you could have easily cheated. I don't know if they still have past papers. I don't even know if you could even scam a GCSE or an A-level paper these days. Forgive me, Ofsted or whoever the governing body is. But you could be someone who looks really smart, but you just can't pull it off when it comes to exam time. Why do I say all of this? Because I think that part of trials, part of, because there's a number of stages in our discussion tonight. And one of them is why the trials. And another one of them is the difference between the different trials that emerge and how do we react to them? How do we come through them? And number three, do they ever stop? Do they ever stop is a big question. But I think when we're looking at why the trial, I think God virtually answers the same way doctor or teacher, our professor, our sir would answer when we're looking at them at uni time or at college time. There's a couple of places I could see this. One of them, I could see this in Surah 67 verse 2. In Surah 67 verse number 2, you've all read this verse at home. The famous verse in Surah Al-Mulk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Tabaraka alladhi biyadihi al-Mulk, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Glory in whose hand is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, and he is over all things, the all-powerful. Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayata liyabluwakum. What did we say the word Yasir was for a trial or an affliction? Bala. What does the Quran say here? Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayata, who created death and life, liyabluwakum, so that he may try you, liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala, to see which one of you is the best in their deeds. GCSEs, what are they? A-levels, what are they? SATs, what are they? All of these different tests, what are they? They are trying to decipher A, which one of you is the best in their deeds? Those of you who've worked their socks off, you're going to get the A's, you're going to get the A stars, you're going to get the 4.0s, you're going to get the firsts. Those of you who have been lazy, the reality is, you're not going to get that success. Do we agree with that? Secondly, what we find is that the true nature is what we want to see emerge. Do you know why? Because when these verses are revealed about tests in life, in Medina, can you imagine that there's mu'mins and there's munafiqs? Do you agree? There's people who are mu'min and there are those who are munafiq. How do we decipher which one's got iman and which one doesn't? Because the munafiq says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The mu'min says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." All of them say, "We believe in God." Some of them undercover don't. Some of them undercover are causing trouble for Islam. Do you agree? The hypocrites. Al-munafiqun. How do I decipher? Test them with something. See their behavior. Do you agree? How do you decipher? Do you know how you decipher, Zamir? If I may say, surprise tests. I used to hate surprise exams. I used to hate surprise trials, calamities. I call them a calamity. What do you mean we got an exam? You didn't even prepare us, sir. You didn't even tell us there's an exam next week. You didn't say anything. Don't you hate it when your teacher goes, "Tomorrow there's an exam"? You're like, "What do you mean tomorrow? Next week? Give us time." Because you ain't revised, have you, Yasser? And so you're thinking to yourself, surprise test. What does a surprise test do? It shows whether you've truly been going home and reading, or you are the type of guy who waits until the end of the year exams, then you show good. Because there's those who are called the procrastinators. Hands up. Procrastinator. Everything's left until last minute. If the exam's in May, I've got 7 months to revise, I'll revise April 30th. True? In the Quran, did God give any surprise tests? He does. For what reason? So that God may reveal to you His knowledge of those amongst you who are truthful and those who are liars. Surah Al-Ankabut, we all read a few nights ago on Laylat Al-Qadr, didn't we? If you go to Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah 29 of the Holy Quran, the spider. And in Surah Al-Ankabut, right at the beginning, Yasir, Surah 29, verse number 1. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people imagine that they're going to be let off by just saying, "We believe"? Sir, I revised. I ain't going to let you off. Because you know what the problem is? If I don't give you exams, none of you will progress. I want you to keep growing. Exams keep you on your toes, because you know I'm the teacher who gives surprise exams. They keep you on your toes. They help your development. Nobody became a great scientist until they went through years of exams, years of trials, years of difficult questions. The Quran said, do people imagine that they will be let off by just saying "we believe" and that they won't be tested? Have you understood today's subject? Yes. All right, cool. Show it in the paper. But sir, no, I understood it. Okay, answer the questions. No, but sir, I've got a good heart. I don't care. That's like entering an exam and saying, "I've got a good brain." Write the answers. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا يَقُولُوا رَبَّ آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We definitely tested those who came before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who are the truthful and who are the liars. Did you revise? Yes, sir. Did you revise? Yes, sir. Okay, show it in the exam paper. No, sir. I'm not going to lie to you, sir. I played footy last week and I was with my mates going to the cinema the week after. And, okay, but why don't you write it down? True, yes, sir? Write it. Zamir cannot come to me and say to me, said Ammar, I promise you, bro, I've revised. Here, write it. And it seems that the aim is to allow also your true nature to come out. Don't keep it inside. Why are you keeping it inside? Allow your true nature to emerge. You know, it's so easy for people like me to give lectures on topics. But when I'm tested, That's when the real me emerges. Not here. Not here. The real me emerges when I have to face it face to face one day. Then stop talking about these things and actually face it. And when you do actually face it, do you think that tests only come with bad things? Sometimes tests come with good things as well. And what do I mean tests come with good things? You got a Ferrari. You got a sick house, a beautiful house. Can you be also having bala with these things? There are people who are tested not just with things which are hard to take, like cancer or like a suicide. There are some of us who are even tested with things which seemingly are the best things in life. Because the word bala doesn't just apply to us thinking that a test is with the bad stuff. Sometimes I'm tested when I'm doing well. In Surah 21, verse number 35 of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul shall taste death. We always hear that lecture. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Everyone has to quote this ayah. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً We will try you with evil and with good by way of a test. Hold on a minute. I thought tests only come with evil. Sometimes having a lot of wealth is a big test. How many times do you see people who make big money on the side? And they'll always say to you, bro, when you make haram money, there's no barakah. Subhanallah. The guy goes to you, listen, I got cash. I don't know where it's gone. How many times do you see people who've got massive houses, but they never have a majlis in the house? How many times do you see people who've got huge houses, their kids are never home? Where's your kids? I don't really see them much. Why? You know what? They're always with their friends. That person, even their house became a house, which is an exam, a trial for them. How many people do you know who've got palaces, but the whole community, when they go past their house, wow, look at their house. Their house became a trial for them. Because that person's house, how big it is, and yet that house became a major trial for you. Of course, that's not to say that a person can't live wealthily. You can live wealthy, it's not haram. But sometimes you're tested with things which are good. Sometimes you're tested with things which are bad. You know what's why? Sometimes the things which are good you've got to test with. Because when someone says to you, bro, how did you get that house? Your reply could be two things. Wallah, bro, you know how smart I am? No one's better than me in property. So I always find a bargain. That's how I got that house. You're religious, you go to the mosque all the time. You're going to end up with a small house, whereas people like me, look at us. We keep having money coming in and coming in and coming in. A house that's big, from the outside, you look at it and you're like, that guy is so lucky. But that person is being tested every day with their reaction. In the Quran, Surah 18, verse number 32 of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when looking at Surah 18, verse 32, shows us the example of two people. Let's say there were, for example, two brothers, two men. One's religious, the other's not. One's rich, the other, no. The rich one, what's he thinking? Where's God? I needed God. Look how much money I've got. The other one, what's he thinking? He's thinking, you know what? Alhamdulillah that I have God, even though I don't have much. The poor one is going through a lot of tests. Do you agree? The rich one, house, swimming pool, gold taps, whatever you want, lovely, everything. The poor one doesn't have much going for him at all. Look at the way they talk to each other in the Quran. Sometimes your money, if it's going to make you arrogant. There were some people living in the Middle East. They got so wealthy. When they'd go to the mosque, all they talk about is money. They don't talk about, bro, how are you? Hope the family is well. All they started talking about is, what car do you have? What business do you have? What house do you have? Why? Because there's no more God in their life. Their wealth became what? A test for them. True? Their wealth became a trial. In Surah 18 verse 32, Allah says, we give you a parable. Many times in the Quran, Allah begins the ayah, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا. Give them an example. رَجُلَيْنِ. Two men. جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. One of them, do you know what type of garden we gave them? Imagine this type of garden. I'm sure you've seen it in the Middle East. Two gardens of grapevines, surrounded the two gardens with date palms, and made the cornfields in the midst of the two gardens. That sounds like quite a nice garden. Do you agree? Okay. Both of the gardens bought its fruits. And we, just as well, to add to that, let them have a river that was near. Can you imagine this guy's house? Palm trees. River. How big's the house? Massive. And he had fruits in abundance. And he said to his companion, listen to the arrogance. Subhanallah, how sometimes your test comes not in cancer, not in COVID, not in a suicide bomb, not in any of these things. You know where your test comes? And what is the luxury of life? And whether you remain humble with it or you start becoming arrogant with it. Look what he says to him. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْ كَمَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. I am greater than you in wealth. And my clan is mightier than yours. And then he looks at his garden. You know what he does? The ultimate mistake. You know, if you want to pass calamities and trials, you know what your biggest solution is according to the Quran? Always know this life's too short. There's an akhirah. You know what? If I don't get what was due to me here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to me where? Ahsant. Is there any Jannah on this earth that will equal Allah's Jannah? You show me the biggest house in Beverly Hills. You may show me a house, $150 million, $200 million. I ask you, you may show me Hyde Park, you may show me Central Park. You may show me wonderful places in Bali and places in the Maldives. Do they come near the Jannah Allah promises? Therefore, this person made the ultimate mistake. He looked at his garden. He's like, this garden of mine will never perish. Big mistake. If Pharaoh can die, all of us will die. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ. And what? أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا. I don't think that this will ever perish. That person's test came in things which we view as good. Then what does he say? This is the biggest mistake. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً. I don't think that there's going to be a day of resurrection and judgment. Baba, I've got all the money in the world. يَا قِيَامَةً يَا بَطِّيخ يَا رَجِّي. I've got all the money in the world. Subhanallah. This is the saddest line that comes after it. Even if I'm returned to my Lord, I will forever have a certainty that what I have is better than what is going to be offered to me. His companion, the one who doesn't have a mansion, doesn't have the swimming pools, doesn't have the river, doesn't have the palm trees, says to him, how could you disbelieve? Look, he doesn't say to him about his property. Doesn't concern him. Because he's realized that that property comes and goes. How could you disbelieve in a Lord who created you from dust? أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. How could you disbelieve in the one who created you from dust, from a sperm drop, and then fashioned you into a complete man? He's my Lord. I don't associate anyone with him. Why didn't you, when you enter the garden, say it is as God wills? Why are you so proud that it's you? You know, how do you make sure that trials and calamities don't affect you in life? Keep saying Alhamdulillah and keep saying Subhanallah. When you have something, you don't want the blessing to go. What do you keep saying? Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. True? Keep saying Alhamdulillah and keep saying Subhanallah. That is what you should always do. Someone asked the question. Sayyidina, you compare these two people. You said that there's one who doesn't have a mansion. The other has a mansion. His test came in his mansion. So balak can sometimes come even in those things you look at as good. Your car could be your trial. When you're driving it, do you look at others and you're like, their car's rubbish, mine's the best? Your scooter could be your trial. Do you drive past people and be like, haha? Your house could be your trial. There are many things which are nice in life. They could be our trial. Do you agree? Okay. Someone says, Sayyidina, when I face a trial, is it because of my sin? I think firstly, we're the best mirrors to ourselves. We know when we've done something haram a couple days earlier, and then you're looking at something, you're like, oh, yeah. I know why that happened. But can we be for certain? No. I can't say that there is a direct correlation. But in the Quran, in Surah 4, verse 97, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that there could be sometimes a correlation. When the Quran says, well, first and foremost, I think if you even... Yeah, if you look at Surah 4, verse number 97 of the Holy Quran, you'll see that the reality is, even when you're unjust to yourselves and the angels come and take you, and they'll ask you, in which state did you find yourself on the earth? And you say, we found ourselves as weak. Was Allah's earth not vast enough? Because some people do make the excuse that, listen, I only committed sins because I live in a non-religious country. The reality is, if you're living in a non-religious country, you can't use that as an excuse for why you're sinning. Because people say, Sayyidina, you know, you're telling me that sins can result in trials. That's because I'm living in a non-religious... No. In the Quran, Surah 4, verse 97, the angels say, you could have traveled somewhere else. But I think also in the Quran, in Surah 42, verse 30 of the Quran, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that sometimes our own actions do lead to what we face. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ مُصِيبَة, مَصَائِب, yep, calamities. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever misfortune, calamity, trial befalls you, it's what your own hands have wrought. Always? Not always. But this verse said it's your hands that sometimes bring a misfortune. You committed certain sins. The misfortune that befell you was because of that. There are times in history where communities watched oppressors and remained silent. You could not then later on say, why did our community have a calamity? You were seeing a person leading your community who was a racist, xenophobic, discrimination. And you said, well, I don't want to get involved. I'm not going to say anything. Imam Ali alayhi salam used to say, always enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Persist in it. Otherwise, the bad ones amongst you will be your leaders. And then you will have no answer to God. If you were just sitting there and watching haram take place and you don't say a single word, then don't be surprised if a misfortune affects you. If you were someone who was encouraging haram to take place, yeah, bro, you know what? I'll sell you whatever drugs you want. Yeah, bro, you know what? I'm going to do this haram. I'm going to join you in this haram. There is a possibility of sometimes a correlation between a misfortune falling on you because of your sins. In Dua Kumail, don't we say, Allahumma ghfir li dhunub allati? Those sins, oh Allah, forgive me those sins that bring about your bala. Imam Ali alayhi salam in Dua Kumail says that, oh Allah, forgive me those sins that bring about bala. Maybe there are certain sins. I was rude to my mom. I hit my dad. I stole from the shop. I stole from government. I was rude to someone poor. These things can have a direct effect on us. So the first reason, a trial when it affects me. Someone says, so I have a disabled child. Is that because I've committed a sin? No. No. Sometimes your child who's disabled is more of a blessing than someone whose child is not physically challenged, but their soul is spiritually dead. There are some parents, their children, they're not disabled. but their soul is disabled. There are some people, their children are autistic. There are some people, their children have Down syndrome. There are some people whose children maybe have a particular part of the body which is not there. But I'll tell you what, they smile wonderfully. And it's a shame in our communities when people say, you know why you have a disabled child? Because you committed sins. So Allah gave you a disabled child. Astaghfirullah. Can I deny that that child may be a trial? I can't deny. Why can I not deny? Loss of children, children in one way or the other, either are a bala in life or they are a fitna. What's a fitna? The most difficult bala. Surah 18, verse 46 of the Quran. Sometimes your children are a difficult test. In Surah 18, verse number 46 of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya." Wealth and children are the adornment of this world. We agree? Do we agree? They're the zina. But also in the Quran, Allah says, your wealth and your children are a fitna. Can my money be a trial for me, a test? Of course. I can either spend it in halal or spend it in haram. I can use it to show off or I can use it to help. We agree? Can one's children be a test? Hey, disabled children. Maybe that is your test. Although most families I've met, you know, of the photos I love taking with people who meet me wherever I go, the photos I love taking the most are when a person comes to me with a child who may have a particular trial or challenge in their life. Because those kids are just so innocent. And these are the children who go straight towards God's heaven. Sometimes a child may be a trial. How? Because that child doesn't pray and you are someone who wants them to pray. Sometimes that child turns out to be someone who takes drugs and you don't want your children taking drugs. There are prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of their tests were their children? Who can tell me? Give me a name of a prophet in the Quran whose test was their children. Which prophet in the Quran had maybe a son or sons who were really bad? Who can you remember in the Quran? Nabi Nuh. Ahsant Yasir. Excellent. Nabi Nuh, Yaqub alayhi salam. Who else? Who's the first creation? And his sons fought each other. Nabi Adam. Ahsant. So when you look in the Quran, you find that our wealth and our children can be major tests for us. Nothing to do with our sins. Do you know the people of the mystical world? Ahl al-Ma'rifah. They say that tests are the pathway between those with spiritual knowledge in their journey to Allah. Subhanallah. Because they're like, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be tested and the other prophets, then these tests must be the path we have to go through to find God. Because those people found God. Therefore, if God, you put tests on me, then so be it. Hence Imam Ali alayhi salam says, do not say, Ya Allah, don't test me, for we will all be tested. Rather say, Ya Allah, do not test me in that which shakes my faith in you. Test me, but don't let it reach a stage where my faith in you is shaken. And that's why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the different types of tests and trials that we face in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2 of the Quran, verse 255. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? All of you have read this ayah. And this ayah in the Quran, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we're going to test you with different trials. And some of these trials are going to be with what? Some of them are going to be with how many different areas is Allah going to test us in? Allah is going to test us, for example, with our wealth. Hold on. Surah 2 verse 255 is Ayat al-Kursi. Where is the ayah? It will come back to me. لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Zamir, use Ayatullah Google if you don't mind, just to remind me where in Surah Al-Baqarah that ayah is. Ayatullah Google is helpful, we have to admit. And so what we have, لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. We will try you, we will test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. Thank God for memorization. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. We will test you with moments of fear. Surah 2, 156. I said Surah 2, verse 255. Surah 2, verse 156. لَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ. We're going to test you with what? With moments of fear. Do you agree with me that that lady in Syria, when she's sitting in her house and there are shootings, is she in a state of fear? That's her test. وَالْجُوعِ. Moments of hunger. There are people who are starving now in parts of Africa, and we're going to have a big meal for iftar. وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ. Those who become bankrupt, that's their test. وَالْأَنْفُسِ. Those who lose their children. Can't wish it on anyone, but God's mentioned it. وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. And the fruits of, for example, the loss of what you own. God mentions that each of these you're going to be tested in. And that's why it's vital to know the Quran in life. You know why? Because if one of your friends goes, you know, I lost my child, you mention an ayah like this to him, that God did say that part of the exam paper, there'll be a section called loss of children. You're going to have to answer 6 questions on that. And there's also a section in that exam paper, when you turn over the second page, that's going to ask you about loss of wealth. You're going to have to answer questions on that. So it's as if the exam paper for life is already given to us. That there are some of you, unless you go through this, you can't grow. There are some people who got closer to God through some of these losses. Some of them forgot salah. Some of them forgot the ni'am and the blessings that Allah had surrounded them with. And you know what these do to us sometimes? What's the aim of a test? I think, you know, when you've got that cocky student in class, and sometimes you do that surprise test, do you think that sometimes it humbles them? Because they go around saying, I know everything, I know everything, I know everything. And then there's one test which really humbles them. And that's why if you look within the Quran, you'll find that there's a couple of verses where God makes it clear that the aim of these trials was in reality to humble a person. Surah 9 verse 126 of the Quran, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that some of these trials are to humble some of us. That COVID humbled a lot of us. We thought our businesses would never go down. We own shops in central London. We own buildings. We own whatever. We will never go down. Surah 9 verse 126. يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Do they not see that every year, once or twice, they are tested? And the problem is some of them don't turn back to God. I'm amazed that in COVID, there are still certain people, they've gone, seen COVID, they've seen janazas, they've seen mayits, they've seen deaths, they still don't pray. And the Quran said, that do they not see that once or twice a year we test them and they still don't change? The aim of those tests was for you to come back to us. If you look at the Quran, Surah 6 verse 42, again, God wants this concept of humbling. That, you know, when we test you, some of you may look at it negatively, but it does humble some of us. Because hubris, no doubt, is the biggest sin of modern man. Surah 6 verse number 42 of the Quran. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمَمٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. We definitely sent prophets before you and we caught them in moments of distress and moments of adversity. Can you name me prophets in the Quran who went through major moments of ba'sa and barra, moments of physical distress, moments of spiritual distress? Ahsant. One of the best examples in the Quran and in the Bible is the suffering of Job, suffering of Prophet Ayyub. When we go through a test, some people lose money but don't lose children. Some people lose money and they lose children, but they don't lose their property. Some people lose money and their children, and but they don't lose their property. Some people lose money, children, property, and they also lose their land, and they lose their wife, and they lose everything. Ayyub, Job, in the Quran and in the Bible, if ever you wanted to see a central figure in the world of dialogue between faiths, I believe it's Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. Prophet Ayyub in the Quran, we have a phrase which we always use, Sabr Ayyub, the patience of Ayyub. The Quran said that those who came before you, prophets they were. I ask you, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam has emotions? Of course he does. Does he have feelings? Of course he does. Will we ever go through what happened on that day in Karbala? And that's why the Islamic paradigm about the beauty of Karbala. You know, there were other battles in Islamic history where more people got killed. But the person leading this, A, the personalities who died, B, the way they were killed, C, makes Karbala the greatest. And you know what's amazing about Karbala? Is that many of us, when we go through a bad period in life, we hold on to Karbala. Because we're like, you know what, it's not as bad as Karbala. Or it's not as bad as what happened in Kufa and Sham, true? We remember Sayyidah Zainab, we remember Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And we're like, if they went through the Ba'sa and Dharra, the aim of Ba'sa and Dharra was what? What did the ayah say in Surah 6 verse 42? It said that the aim was that you humble yourself. But they are the masters of humility. But for us, sometimes a moment of distress, subhanAllah, we can walk on this earth like arrogant peacocks. The moment, the human being gets in a little bit of a calamity, you see them sweat. Humble yourself. Keep saying Alhamdulillah. Keep saying Shukranillah. Keep saying Subhanallah. Don't be like that person who said, look at my house, look what I own. You can own all the houses, all the fast cars, everything. Unless there is within you a recognition of one concept, then these things are of no avail. Which concept? Go back to that ayah you found in Surah 2 verse 156. Go back to it. When the Quran said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. The Quran said in Surah 2 verse 156, then the Quran said, we will try you with loss, with what? With fear. And we will try you with the misfortune of what else? Hunger, loss of wealth, life, fruits. But give glad tidings, good news to the patient ones. وَبَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give good news. What is the antidote? Patience. Patience is to faith like the head is to the body, Imam Ali says. Patience is to faith like head is to the body. Can a body function without a head? There is no faith without patience. وَبَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. Those who when the calamity befalls them, what's the first thing they say the moment they lose a child? They lose their house. They lose their business. They lose their property. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily, we are God's and verily, we shall return to the Lord. Who created us? Allah. Who do we return back to when we die? Who do we eventually meet? Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. So therefore, the moment we see someone die in our community, what do we say straight away? Oh, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The patient ones are the ones who know where we came from, where we are, and where we're heading. Do these trials ever finish? Like Sayyidina, bro, I got a problem at home with my parents. I got a problem at home with my brothers. I got a problem at home with work. I got a problem at home with money. I've got a problem at home with education. Sayyidina, do these ever end? No. I'm sorry. I thought GCSEs was the only exams I was going to do. Did I know one day that I'm going to do an exam for bachelor's? One day I'm going to do master's? One day I'm going to do PhD? And there are some people whose exams don't even stop. Doctors still have exams non-stop. So why should life be any different? But what's the trials? Are they ever going to end? No. But what's the aim of these trials? Surah 64 verse 11. The aim of these trials Islamically is to humble us. And that we return back to our Lord with what? We return back to our Lord with a heart that is being purified. When the Quran says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ma asaba min musibatin illa bi-idhnillah. There isn't a single trial or affliction except with what? With the permission of Allah. Wa may yu'min billahi yahdi qalba. And whoever believes in Allah, Allah will make sure his heart is guided aright. Wallahu bikulli shay'in alim. And Allah knows all things. So what does the ayah mean? That every affliction that happens in this world, Allah knows of it. But whoever believes in Allah, Allah will make sure their hearts are right. There's been a few heart attacks. People say, oh, you know, sometimes people, when they attribute trials They'll be like, we've had so many trials. Our son has got a black eye. He was in a fight. And our dad died of a heart attack. Number one, your son was outside of a club at 3 a.m. in the morning. There's a good chance there could be a punch up. Number two, the father died of a heart attack. May Allah bless his soul. But if you look at how much oil he eats and the food that he eats, eventually, don't blame everything and say, this is test from Allah. Test. No. There are some things which you with your own hands bring to perdition. There are other things sins bring about. There are other things. But Allah promises you one thing. Believe in me, and I will make sure your heart's all right. What's the best dua for me to read then if I'm facing moments where I feel compelled, I feel difficulty? What does everyone recite at the end of any majlis? Which ayah of the Quran does every Mawlana recite? At the end of every majlis, you'll always see Mawlana says, raise your hands in dua, let's recite the ayah of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma, Surah 27, verse 62, my dear brothers and sisters at home. Surah 27, verse 62, let's recite it all of us together tonight. For all those who are facing trials in their life. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah 27, verse 62. Amma yujibu. First, even break it down word by word. Who else is there who answers yujibu? Amma yujibu al-muftar, the one who is distressed. Idha da'a, is there a weapon like dua when you are in trials? The best weapon is dua. Amma yujibu al-muftar idha da'a, huwa yakshifu as-su' and removes the distress. Amma yujibu al-muftar idha da'a, huwa yakshifu as-su'. No doubt, we're all facing trials and tribulations in this holy month. And this is the ayah that all of us need to recite. Don't ever stop reciting this ayah. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُفْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. And then the ayah doesn't stop there. وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. And he makes you the successors in the earth. أَإِلَاهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there any God with Allah? قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَّكَّرُونَ. Little is it that you reflect. Reality is, with all the trials each of us will face, if the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family can have trials from the day he's born, he's an orphan, until the day he dies, he sees hypocrites around him, then all of us will have trials as well. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the afflictions from the Ummah of Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Bring peace and prosperity to humanity at large. Let everybody who is facing a trial come through it with a peaceful heart and without distress. Insha'Allah, from tomorrow night, my dear brothers and sisters, in the wake of so many of you sending in your questions concerning the verses that we've discussed in the previous 27 nights, we will have question and answer sessions every night at the same time. Concerning the topics that we have had and many of your other questions as well, we will have question and answer sessions every night until the night of Eid, insha'Allah. Let's pray for our dear brother who has the colon cancer and all of our other brethren. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amma yujibu al-muftarra idha da'a wa yakshifu as-su'. 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 Tonight, inshallah, join me on the Instagram page where we look at the Afghanistan Orphans Appeal and try and raise money for our brothers and sisters oppressed in Afghanistan. From the lovers of Muhammad and al-Muhammad, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Hey.